So today I've got a panel of guests, one who's here early, so I want to thank her for that. I'll introduce her since she's the first one here. Her name is Julia Carnahan. Julia Carnahan is a top agent for the Keller Williams Heritage Company out of Texas, San Antonio. In 2011, Julia was named one of the top 50 agents in all of San Antonio. And I have to tell you, she's was here last week and on one of our panels, and we talked about how to, you know, have a an average of $1 million in production a month and still have a life. And it was a great webinar. If you want to hear the audio podcast of that, I've got that right over here on Zillow Academy. Also, you can go to the recorded webinars. Right up here is a tab at ZillowAcademy.com. You can click on recorded webinars, and you can actually watch that. But for a lot of you who are on the go, you can also download the podcast. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce my first panelist, Julia Carnahan. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
So I'm going to dive right in. I've got a folder here. I'm going to actually open this up and share a couple of things. I was putting together a blog post, and I just want people to kind of, you know, preface this call. I want people to know a little bit about you and your production. And so while you're very humble and lovable, I know you won't tout your own horn, so I'm going to. I don't know if you folks can see this on the screen, but I went in and logged in as Julia, because I can do that on Zillow, to see her information and try to help with those types of things. And I noticed she had 1,703 contacts sitting in the hopper. So when I tell you that Julia Carnahan gets over 300 contacts a month, just on Zillow, I'm noticing she's getting around 300 a month. These are no nonsense consumers that are contacting her directly. And in our last call with Julia on the panel, I asked her how many of those she was closing, and she said about 10%. She manages on average about 15 listings at one time. So today what I want to talk about, Julia, is conversion. You know, you mentioned in the last call, and people can listen to that podcast, that it's all about lead generation. What tips can you give folks for, number one, cultivating these leads, but two, converting them into clients and closings?
Right, and that's the trick to this, to the way I do my business, Brad, and my broker, love him to death, he says, well, that's great, Julia, you're getting all these leads, but you're converting them. And a lot of people have a challenge, you know, with the conversion piece. So what I'd like to talk about today is just how to do that and how I do it, and the business process associated to it. I think that, as you well know, that Zillow is about 70% of our business. This year we've started doing more referrals. But let's talk about when a lead comes in, and there's two types of leads that come in. One type is the email lead, which y'all are familiar with if you're part of the Premier Agent Program. And the second type is telephone calls, because people are using the Zillow mobile app and they're, you know, looking at our listing and they're clicking to call, you know, and they want information on a listing. So I'm going to go back to the first one, Brad, which is the email lead. So if you can imagine, when a consumer clicks on, you know, they want information about a listing, and they send out that email inquiry, that email inquiry is going to, what, three or four other agents if there's a listing agent. So the time to response, it has to be almost immediate. And I'll share with you some of the things that have happened to me when this happens. The first thing I'll tell you is that you definitely have to have the Zillow text messaging set up, so that, because that text message will get to you before the email will. And I've timed this response, Brad. So, you know, when a consumer hits that button, the text is immediate and comes over onto my iPhone, and I see the inquiry. And I have experience literally where I'll take time to go look up the listing and to see if it's active or not, what the status of the listing is. Mm-hmm. And when I call that consumer back, guess what? Two other agents have already called them. So, and that may have only taken me just a couple of minutes because I was sitting at my computer when that email, when that text message came in. So I said to myself, well, okay, that's a challenge. So what we have to do is set up a process where as soon as that text hits, and if there is a phone number associated to that inquiry, I click and call it, even though I don't know anything about that listing. Okay. Now, in telephone sales, you'll know that consumers don't know that you don't know anything. So if you expose yourself and tell them you don't know anything, then they're going to be like, I don't want to talk to this agent, right? Or if you tell them that you're not the listing agent right up front, they're not going to want to talk to you. So what I do is I get the consumer on the line. We talk about the house. We talk about, even though I know you found it on Zillow, I talk about, I'm buying time, Brad, right? I'm asking, which website did you see this property on? They'll say, oh, I found it on Zillow. And we talk about Zillow a little bit. We talk about the property in the neighborhood, and I ask them questions. And I start to qualify the lead, meaning like, oh, do you live in the neighborhood now? Have you been looking for a house? And I'll tell them that I'm in the process of pulling up the listing details, so just be patient. And while I'm doing that, I'm buying time and I'm starting to go into my qualifying questions with the lead, okay? By the time I have a couple questions down, of course, I'm asking them questions about them. So if they talk about them, it's not like they're waiting on for me the entire time. So I'm not entertaining them, but they're talking about themselves. So there's two things that are happening there. The first thing is when they're talking about themselves, I'm learning information that I need, right, to start working with this buyer. And they love talking about themselves, which is good. And the other thing is you're starting to build a rapport with them, and you're befriending them, meaning that you want to become their friend, because that's a very important part of this process when you're hitting people cold. They don't know who you are. You want to talk to them like they're your best friend that you haven't seen in 2 years. And, oh, hey, how are you doing? Tell me about the family. How many children do you have? Do you have a dog? You know, and you ask a couple of those questions, and all of a sudden you've killed at least a minute to 2 minutes of time, and by now you have the MLS listing up in front of you. So if the MLS listing is active, I go right into, would you like to schedule a showing and when are you available? Okay. And I think that's really important because I want to make a key point here. I do not expose that I am not the listing agent because consumers don't know, even though there's three or four people, agents listed on the side of that listing, mm-hmm. They don't understand. They think all of us have the listing. I have yet to meet a consumer that says, I'm calling you as a buyer's agent on this listing. I have consumers call me as a buyer's agent, but they're looking for a buyer's agent, but that's not on a listing. On a listing, they think that it's our listing. But I don't expose that it's not my listing until we get way down the path, and if it comes up, then you know, I tell them, but, you know, I'll oftentimes even be in the process of showing them, and, you know, it's really when it comes up is, well, are you representing the buyers or us? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm a buyer's agent, and, you know, we're there on Zillow as buyer's agents. So, you know, and that generally happens when I'm at the property in the middle of showing or in the middle of discussing the property. But they don't really care if you're the listing agent or not. They're just after information on a property, and they think that they have to call a listing agent. And they think that we're all
three things listening. I heard you kind of, and I just want to recap for those just joining in, because there's still people signing in on the call, and there's some people just that'll be listening to this after. The first thing I heard you say that really stuck out like a throbbing thumb was response time is critical. The second thing I heard you say very important, just as critical as the response time, is you're building relationships with these people. You're not just responding. And the third thing that you're doing to convert these online contacts you're getting is you're responding quickly, you're building relationship, but you're doing the research and finding, gathering fact, finding while you're talking to them, and also finding out market-wise, locally, at your local market level, what's really going on. They could come to you from any source or resource online, but when it's regarding a specific property, you're doing your research while, for lack of a better term, you're multitasking. You're talking on the phone, but you're doing the research. And then you're the fourth and final thing, which is, again, folks, this is the most important thing in the world. Did you catch very subtly her call to action? Schedule an appointment, schedule the meeting, schedule the time to get together. I think if you take those four, I mean, I'm simplifying everything you said, but which is, you know,
right.
But it sounds to me like that's what you're doing that's working, as far as going from a cold person just clicks on that little, I got your page up now, one of your listings here, beautiful listing, by the way, in Fair Oaks. Somebody clicks on this blue contact agent button. Number one, folks, make sure you have that set up to go to your SMS or text messaging, because as she said, if she waits 2 minutes, now I've always called it the 90-second rule, but if you wait more than 2 minutes, they've already been contacted maybe by somebody else. Maybe that person's sitting in front of the house using a mobile app and wanting to talk to Julia, but if she doesn't respond, they might call somebody else, or they pull up a property on Zillow's map and there's two or three other agents, they might be contacting them all. So response time, building the rapport and a relationship, fact finding, knowing your market, knowing what's really going on, and then a call to action. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And that's and Brett, if you could go to a listing that's not a featured listing, that just has all where all our premier agents are lined up, I want to have that open, because that's where we're getting the leads. And
yeah, let's just do a zip code. Give me a zip code where you're a premier agent in.
Do 78247.
All right, let's just play consumer. I'll wear my consumer hat. Here's a question from somebody saying, what percentage of time do you push to meet first at home? They inquired about the home they inquired about, and what percent push to meet first at your office?
100% of the time I push to meet at the listing. Because if you think about it, and I'm going to have you guys put on your psychologist hat, right? This business is very much about sales psychology, and converting leads is very much about sales psychology. If the consumer has a question about a house, they put the button or they called me about a specific listing. So they already have a need, and if I can fill that need, we have a win-win situation on conversion. Okay, so when I get them on the phone and we start talking about, you know, about things, and I start to qualify them, I'm buying time. My point there was I was buying time while I'm looking at the listing, because I don't know anything about the listing. It's not my listing, right? So it might not even be an active listing, but it's still a good lead because it's a consumer inquiring about a house.
Now, would you prefer to meet them at the home they're inquiring about, or do you prefer to meet them at your office first?
No, we're meeting at the home, because that's what they want to see, is they want to see the house.
Yeah,
okay, so I'm taking them to the house. If I say to them, let's meet at my office so that I can do a buyer interview and all those things they train you in real estate, guess what? I'm guaranteeing you 70% of the time they're going to run the other direction. So when I just meet them at the home and they'll say, well, I have questions about qualifying, I can do all that right at the showing appointment. And in fact, I have two or three lenders lined up that answer my call almost any time of day or night. And if I'm with a client, I'll call them and we pre-qualify them right there on the spot after I've warmed the client up to that. Like, oh, it only takes 15, 20 minutes on the phone. You know, my mortgage consultant who's on my team will tell us where we are if they're not pre-qualified already. So meeting at the house is a more friendly environment. It's something they wanted to see anyway, and they had questions about that listing. So you have a higher opportunity of converting that rate.
I'm showing an example now of, I just went and grabbed any listing in San Antonio in the 78247. Also back on the previous page where I just showed all the homes in the area, you show up on the sidebar. So I want people to understand that being a premier agent, you're not just showing up on your own listings and on as a buyer's agent on other listings, but you're showing up on any home in that entire zip code. So here's the example you were sharing of they might be contacting all three of these. They might just pick him because he's handsome. They might pick her because she's cute. Seriously, I've asked people why you would select the agent you selected, and I've heard hundreds of different reasons. But here's what Julia was referring to earlier when she said they might be contacting all three agents. The other thing I just heard you say I want to point out as a bullet point caveat, you had said something again in your you say it so subtly, but it's so important. She has a couple of lenders in place that jump through fire hoops for her 24/7. That is a key ingredient, is having a team of affiliates and associates, whether it's title companies, lenders, other agents, whatever is part of your, you know, a virtual assistant, a stage or whatever. It's having people that you can count on, rely on, and trust to help you through this process, because obviously without that lender, Julia, you probably couldn't convert as many leads as you do. Is that a fair assumption?
That would be very true, because there's a couple things that happen. If I have a client that now has bought into me and I'm going to, they're going to work with me, right, and they want to see homes, I mean, I need to know if they're pre-qualified or not before I go out and show them homes. And I have a three times rule, right? I will take them out to see three houses to warm them up to me so that I can befriend them, they feel comfortable with me. And I don't stand there and ask them four or five qualifying questions, you know, like the script. I'm becoming their friend. And so as we're warming up together, we start to know each other and like each other, and then I can just ask them these questions as a friend and not so much as, quote-unquote, a stranger who's a realtor that they don't know, who's asking them very personal questions.
Right.
So the three times rule. Now, the mortgage company is critical, because you have to have these guys in your back pocket who will answer your call. My mortgage lenders know that when I call them, I'm either with a client that they're going to get to pre-qualify, so guess what? They're going to take that call if they're available. And we do it right on the spot when I have asked the question to the client, you know, would you like to be pre-qualified? One of the first things we do when we're house hunting is to get pre-qualified, so we know we're shopping in the right price range and we know what our mortgage options are. And I rarely have anybody tell me no. The only time that they tell me no is when they have already been pre-qualified with another lender, or we've got some credit issues that they're embarrassed about.
Now, let me just point something out real quick, Julia, because I think this is important, and it leads me into the next question that one of our attendees is asking here. First of all, I'm showing them there's a couple hundred listings showing up just on the Zillow screen here under that one zip code. I want to point out that if you notice, everyone that I'm hovering over, folks, the average sales price in this specific area is around the 150 to 170. Here's one at 187. Here's my point I want to say. This is not, and I'm gonna give you some kudos, Julia, because I think this is important people to know. If you're in Beverly Hills, you sell one house, you make your $1 million production. In her area, her market area, and remember I said she does an average of $1 million every month. Folks, that's not a couple transactions. The average sales price here is around 150 to 180, so she's having to close quite a few transactions to meet that $1 million a month. This is why I bring and invited Julie on as a top producer, which brings me to my next question that Allie is asking is, how are you getting, and this is all caps, so many leads from Zillow? She's a premier agent as well and only gets about 5 to 7 per week. So that's a great question. How are you generating so many leads from Zillow. Mm-hmm. Is that a secret you can share?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Strategically, if you think about the web as a highway, and there's consumer traffic on that, buyers. Think of 10 buyers standing on a street, and you're going out and you're reaching out and you're touching those buyers. You need to have as much of a zip code as you can buy, meaning that if you buy a quarter or 25%, you get 25% of that exposure. You have 25% of the opportunity to reach out and grab those buyers. If you have a zip code that's 100%, you need to buy 100% of a zip code. I know it's expensive, but it pays off. And the reason it pays off is because you're in front of every buyer who's looking in that zip code. And most buyers, Brad, when you look at those listings and there's three of us there, most consumers do not uncheck those boxes. So you're getting 100% of all the consumer inquiries in that zip code. So you get a lot of inquiries, and it does mean you have to be on your A game on how you're responding to those inquiries to make it profitable for you.
Sure.
Right? So 100% of a zip code, that's the secret. It's really
now, nice. Let me ask you, can you share, you've got service areas here listed. Do you have sure. more than one zip code area?
I do.
How many zip codes? Can you share how many zip codes you have?
Oh, I have to look, Brad. Let's see. Gosh, I have.
Give me a Zestimate.
I have probably about 12 zip codes that I have 100% of.
Okay, so to answer her question then, the reason you're getting so many leads is because you're showing up 100% of the time in multiple zip codes. Now, if
Correct.
It's okay, I want you to – we talked about risk and reward. And again, this isn't about anything. I want this to stay about conversion and contact management and lead generation, because it really is. If you don't have contacts, you're not going to have any appointments, and without appointments, you've got no closings. But you shared a personal story with me offline when we spoke on the phone a while back about one point where you and I don't know if you want to share that.
I'll tell it. No, I'll tell
please
the
do.
Story. No, first of all, I will tell you that this is not recommended for people who are not confident that they can take the risk that I took.
There's
but
the disclaimer.
Right, as a disclaimer, but you know, my parents were in sales. I was raised in sales, and you know, it's just I'm very confident about my sales ability, and I think that this business is very much about telephone sales now, because we have to warm up the people on the phone, we have to convert them on the phone, we have to get the appointment to the showing. If I can get to that point and I can get face-to-face, then it becomes face-to-face and it's a relationship and we're off and running to the races. So when I started investing in Zillow, it was about, I think, June of 2010. And I had purchased some Trulia advertising, and I closed a transaction in the first month. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And, you know, honestly, how I found out, and this is important, Brad, and I don't mean to get sidetracked, but it is important. You know, how I found out about the Zillow Premier Agent program is I started going online, and this is when I first started doing real estate full time. I went online and I was looking at all my listings to make sure my name was showing up on my listings. And I went to Zillow, and guess what? There was three other agents on my listing. So I called Zillow up and I said, hey, how come these other people are on my listing? I want to be on my listing. And what's going on here? And my Zillow rep explained it to me, you know, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you mean the Zillow profile is free? Of course,
yeah,
I immediately filled that out. And then he explained the Premier Agent program. And I really liked Zillow as a website and knew the consumers were starting to gather there and they were gaining momentum. So I switched all my advertising dollars to Zillow. And every time I had a closing, I bought another zip code, okay? And I tried to go for, at the advice of my Zillow rep, for 100% of any given zip code. And I did the MLS research to say, where's the buyer traffic? Where are the most listings? And where are the most sales happening out of my MLS. So those were my targeted zip codes.
So let me just show something real quick before you. I want you to tell that mortgage story, but before you go on, I want to show. This is a listing I just pulled up on the screen, where it's a listed, it's a syndicated listing, and I want everybody on this call or listening to this call to know this. Every listing on Zillow, and I mean all 3 or 4 million of them, however many there are, shows down here at the bottom listing provided by. So on Julia's listing before she had the free profile set up, it would have said listing provided by Julia Carnahan. And then it also, folks, gives you the listing source. So the source of this listing, Blanca Duarte, all she would have to do is fill out a free profile on Zillow, and she would show up here in this box at the top as the listing agent. Because she does not have a free profile on Zillow, but point two is syndicating her listing to our site, this is what the advantages for Julia and these premier agents is, that they're now showing up as buyer's agents in the area. Notice it's not saying they're the listing agent. It says plainly and clearly contact a buyer's agent. So that's, I wanted to point out, because you said it was important, and I agree. I think a lot of people don't realize that this is on every listing provided. But the other point I wanted to make, Julia, is people forget or don't realize that there's not just 3 or 4 million listings syndicated on Zillow. We have over 110 million homes on our site.
Right.
And you probably get calls on property. So after you tell your story, I want you to talk about how you handle the call when somebody just pulls up a house.
Sure. So I'll tell my story very quickly.
Okay.
So after about six months in, Zillow and Yahoo Real Estate partnered. My Zillow rep called me up and he said, Duane, you know, we're partnering and we're opening up the zip code purchases to just our premier agents for the first couple of days. And so I went to my broker and I said to him, oh my gosh, and at this point my Zillow spend was about $2,500 a month. And I went to my broker and I said, Craig, they're partnering with Yahoo. Do you know what that means? That means that statistically, I could double my business if I doubled my investment. So my broker said, oh, that's great, Julia, but you know, Keller Williams isn't in the lead generation business for our agents, right? So Keller Williams is very much about, it's your business, right? And we operate our business like that independently. And so I was like, oh, shoot. So I was looking to go get some extra money from him so I could, and this is in January, folks. So, you know, this is the middle of winter, it's in the slower time, but, you know, I felt so confident that if I increased my lead count, I would increase my business because it was working for me. I was on track and that year I had closed 5 million and I had just started 6 months earlier. So I was willing to take the risk. And so I had no choice. It was either miss the opportunity or miss the mortgage payment. And so I decided to not pay my mortgage payment, but that I calculated that it would be very tight. I would be able to pay my mortgage payment before it became late, but it was worth the risk to me to double my investment. And that's exactly what I did. I doubled my investment up to $5,000. And I bought 100% of the zip codes as we went forward. And guess what? I doubled my business last year. I went to $11.8 million in 2011. And
so
this
you actually
year,
risked paying your mortgage.
I did.
To double your
yes.
investment for marketing, for online advertising and marketing your business. And the reward of that risk was you did double your income and your production. And
right.
Were you late on that mortgage payment, or did you make your mortgage?
No, I was not. I made my mortgage payments just fine, and I closed double the business. But I was very confident that if I had the leads, I could close the leads. It was working for me. It was just a matter of turning the volume up, Brad. And so that's basically what I do. I keep my leads at a level where their volume's turned up high enough that I can close consistent business and don't have to worry about making mortgage payments. So, I was confident that I could close the lead.
So you're confident enough with your conversion, online lead conversion process, that's what put that risk in front of you as an option to begin with. And then
right.
it was just a matter of, you know, for lack of a better term, faith.
Working hard.
That's an incredible story because
yeah.
I can honestly tell you I don't know a lot of people, and I loved your disclaimer prior to telling that story that
yeah.
folks don't try this at home unless you're extremely
right.
confident with your ability to do what we're right. talking about today, and that's how do you take these leads. Again, you're getting over 350 leads a month, and you're able to convert them into clients. Now, I know there you may not have an answer for this, but we had this discussion a little bit too, and I want to just address this head on. There are three segments of your business as a top producer, and I'm not even talking about your personal life, and I really love what you shared on our last panel. But let's talk about the three segments of your business, and then I want you to give some tips or your opinion or just your thoughts on this. So you've sold, obviously, some homes in your past through mm-hmm. even before online stuff from clients, past clients you've worked with. So you have a client base that you've built of past clients. Now you also have, right now on Zillow, you've got 13 listings listed here. You're running an average of 13 to 15 listings a month. But yet you're still spending money on a third segment of your business, which is marketing and advertising for future prospects and clients. So you have your past clients, you have your existing clients that are keeping you pretty busy, I'm sure, and then you have the pipeline of future business. How do you juggle those three segments or balls of business effectively?
Right, and that is a big, big challenge, right? So when you get to the volume, let's say I closed 6 or 8 transactions last month. Now the following month, you have to be careful that it doesn't drag you down because you have all of the walkthroughs, the negotiations, the inspections, the closing issues, all of those things. So the key thing for me is that it's a fire drill on those items, right? And we do handle it, and you have to have an assistant to help you handle it when you're at that level of volume. But the very important key to success is keeping your incoming pipeline full of qualified buyers. So I'm sitting in my home office, and I have two whiteboards in front of me, and one has a list of people that are in my pipeline that I've talked to that I think that are going to convert into showing clients. And then I have a list of people who I'm actively showing because, you know, at this volume, Brad, we're losing track. We go out and show people and then we lose track of them because we're taking we're taking all the calls. So it builds like a snowball, right?
Right.
So we have to keep track of the people that we're actively showing because we want to keep them engaged and keep them going out looking again if we didn't find the right house. So showing clients. And then I have a whiteboard that lists all my written contracts, my pending contracts, the closing schedules, and things like that.
So you have literally these whiteboards on your wall, like a
right.
dry erase board, where you're writing all this stuff out for you and your team to
right.
to see
right.
visually. It's not some computer app. It's not some program. You're looking at it.
Well, we have
on your
programs
wall.
Too. The reason it's on my wall, it keeps me motivated, right? I have a CRM and I have a spreadsheet and I have everything automated and they're in my, you know, CRM. But it's important that it's in front of me, that that my hottest people are always visibly, you know. Like I'll look on the board and I'll say Linda Cook. Oh my gosh, I haven't talked to Linda Cook in 2 weeks. I need to call her. But she's in my computer system. She's on my calendar. She's in my tickler. But, you know, we're doing so much business that there's 100 people on my calendar, you know, right? So
right.
So I'm extracting those hottest leads, those people that I need to focus on and provide customer service to. Those people are on my whiteboard.
Uh-huh. What percentage of your business, Julia, comes from? I know we're getting a lot of leads. You're getting a lot of online leads, and you're converting those. But I also noticed that when I pull up your profile on Zillow, you've got 16 reviews, and they're not just like, yeah, she sold me a house, she was okay. They're like, here's the first one, wow, Julia, Julia, Julia. obviously your customer service is a notch above stellar. I mean, for people to write a review like this and the fact that you take time to respond to these, how much of your business is becoming referral and how much of this proven track record, these reviews, is generating you more business, do you think?
I would say that this year probably 15 to 20% of our business is referral business. And that's why customer service is so important. And if you don't have the time to do that properly, find yourself a nice assistant that will help you with that, or do a virtual assistant, because there are virtual assistant people out there that will do transaction to close. So you need somebody to handhold your clients through, just touch base with them, because people, you don't want to go 2 weeks without having talked to a client that's in the process of, you're working towards a closing in 30 days. And when you're so focused, and we are very focused on the new incomings, you don't want to forget about the ones you have in the hopper that you need to close and feed and care, and you know, because it's sort of like this, Brad. You became their best friend during a very emotional time. You know, people only buy 2 or 3, 4 houses in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is one of the most emotional experiences people will have, and you are their trusted confidant and friend and advisor. And once you've written that contract, you have to, you know, you don't want to be like a best friend that just, you know, turned their back and went on to the next best friend, right? And people, you don't want to leave them feeling cold. So you have to, you become very spread thin when you're doing the volume I'm doing, and you need to have assistants that have been engaged with you and your client during the transaction process that they also know and like, that they don't, so that you have the bandwidth to keep, you know, your pipeline full and incoming business and your transactions, the momentum of your transactions closing every month.
Well, this is just a testament to what you just said. Your client Derek and Heidi said right here, she was always busy, but somehow always found time to meet with us whenever we needed her. We must have looked at over 20 homes, and even though we were getting flustered, she remained patient and willing to help. So this stuff is great. Just as a consumer, if I were going to read this, because earlier the question was this, how do you get so many leads from Zillow? I'll tell you, I personally think that even though people are starting their search on the internet and they might end up on Zillow and they might even find your profile, your profile is great, and the information you provide in the About Me section, but it's these reviews, I bet you. In fact, let me ask you, has anybody ever contacted you and said, hey, I saw some of the reviews on Zillow and I wanted to work with you?
At least twice a week, Brad, I have some calls that come in and say, you know, whether it's a buyer or a seller, they'll say, I've read your reviews and we're looking for a home. We're first-time buyers. We need assistance. Will you help us? You know, and that, yes, 100%, yes, the reviews are important.
Yeah, I think this is almost like, I wouldn't say it's as good as showing up as a premier agent on properties, but they definitely get to your profile, because I'm looking here and you've already got over 9,000 views just on your profile reviews page. So, it's obviously people are looking and they can come in here and write a review. I'm looking over here in the questions box. I think we've awed the audience there. Some of the questions you've already addressed and answered. One of them is time management. We did talk about that, but since we're focusing on conversion, what is you've gone through, obviously, production hurdles. So, you know, for the agent that might be listening to this or that's on the call that, you know, is averaging maybe 2 to 3 transactions a month, maybe there's some people on the call only doing one transaction a month or less. How do you set that goal based on something you don't have? So if we're talking about conversion and leads that are coming in, you went through hurdles, 5 million, 10 million, 15.
Right.
You wanted to do 22 million, I think, this year. How do you get past those hurdles, and what tips would you give somebody who wants to set the first bar and achieve that goal?
Well, I think there's there's a couple things in this, right? When you hit these production hurdles, it's pretty, you can do 2 to 3 million as a single agent without any assistance. And that's really good. That's probably what the national average, you know, pretty much is. At Keller Williams, I think we have 500 agents in my office, and you know, probably about 60% actually do more than 2 million or something like that. But I mean, so that's okay. But to break that barrier, you have to give yourself the bandwidth to do more, to focus on the incoming. And for me, I'm very focused on the pipeline, the incoming, and filling that pipeline. And if you were ever trained in any kind of sales, you will know that you have to have a sales pipeline. And that sales pipeline, however thick that is, right, or how active that is, turns out to a certain percent of that pipeline will convert to a client, convert to a transaction. So when you make that pipeline really thick, then your chances of actually closing the amount of business that you want to close, you will have that opportunity. So there we have, it's all about opportunity. And then you have to take that opportunity and turn those people into a client, turn them into a transaction, turn them into a close thing. So the challenge with this, Brad, is bandwidth, right? So as you make that pipeline thicker and that river of flowing incoming business wider, right, your ability to manage it decreases. So you have to increase your team, whether it's by virtual assistants or just by assistants. I only have assistants and licensed assistants on my team. I don't have a dedicated buyer agent or dedicated listing agent, but we've reached that volume where we're ready. But you have to add those people, even if you add them at first step part-time. So you say, okay, I'm doing enough business. I'm at 3 million. I need to do 5 million. At 5 million, I budget $150 to $300 maximum a week for an assistant. And I go find one of the best qualified assistants you can that maybe is helpful, is where they can help with transactions or lead management, and they're multitasking for you. Their one assistant does all. So you start there, and then when you grow to your next band or your pipeline gets bigger again, you add a second assistant, and now you can focus those assistants. One assistant is right now for me is focused on incoming leads, and the other assistant is focused on active clients, transactions. They're just my backup for everything that I need. So, you know, we're at that point now where we're ready to split again and add more bandwidth so that we can handle the amount of volume that we're dealing with. So we're at a volume now where I have to get more organized. I have a CRM and it works great, and I'm too disparate, however. We have things in Zillow, I have things in Market Leader, I have things over here, and now we're at a volume where it's too hard. I don't have the time to look in all four places for everything or manage things in Top Producer. So now I'm in the process of putting systems into place that will be our standard, even though they might not do everything we want them to do. It is one place to go to where everything's organized so that we can grow the team to 5 to 6 people.
As your business has grown, basically you're having to grow your team and your staffing so that you can take on more of the important tasks and delegate some of the things that, you know, while it's difficult for some of us to delegate the things we know we can always do better than anyone else, you're able to let those go. And I think that's a key component that you have that gift, because some people just don't want to let go. I have to put the sign in the yard. And, you know, because nobody will put it straight like I will, and nobody will put it deep enough so that it doesn't blow over in the wind. And you have to eventually let go of those tasks, and you have to prioritize them, right?
It's about time management. So, yeah. So 20% of your time needs to be focused on the most productive things you can be doing for every day. 20%. If you focus 20% of your time on all the things that you have to be doing to generate income all the rest will happen automatically. You know, we'll convert to 80% of your business. And, you know, you just have to keep that focus. Now, more is not necessarily better, Brad, you know, because if you build your team too big, then you've deteriorated the value. You've decreased the value of your return on investment. Okay. So working efficiently the maximum you can and delegating the things that are time consuming for you but not so relationship oriented with the client or, you know, important. You will always be involved with that transaction. You will always be overseeing that transaction, but you need to relieve yourself of the time consuming tasks like doing listing agreements, doing your paperwork, your contracts, or uploading them to the paperless systems, and all those time-consuming things that are just taking you away from producing more.
Sure. I'm showing your agent production now only because not that people aren't going to believe me, but, you know, January, 627,000, February, 2.2 million, March, 2.1. So it's not like you're doing a millionaire, but you're actually averaging over $1 million in transactions each and every month. And so right now you said, I think, what did you say, you're at 12 or something like that?
We're at 13.8 right now.
13.8, and you're scheduled to do what by December?
We'll do about 16 to 17 by December.
What agent in this country, what agent on this call, what agent listening to this right now, including me, wouldn't want to be making that kind of money? So here's my next question. What is your biggest challenge you face to get to the next hurdle? Because we do have some top producers, I'm sure, listening to this call or on the line. And you've gone through some hurdles. You've gone through three or four areas where you've said, okay, I've had to do this. What's the next hurdle for Julia Carnahan?
I need a consolidated CRM system where all my leads are incoming into one place. And we're doing so many. We've been very successful at creating leads. Now we have to manage them, and they are coming from multiple sources. And I need them to automatically get filtered and entered into a contact management system, a CRM, where I can track that relationship, the phone calls with that client. You know, send them listings and contract to close. Now, I don't have to do all my contract transactions in there, but I need to manage them all in one place in one CRM. And that's what I'm currently working on. So I have multiple locations where everything is, and it's just too disparate for me, and I need it in one place. So that's what we're working on right now. And until I you know, harness that, bridle that horse that's running out there running in the field so hard, I won't be able to add effective buyer's agents or listing agents where I can just delegate and I can watch their activities, because I need to become, you know, the overseer of the activities of the business. So, you know, we talked about it, if any of you have ever read the Gary Keller's Million Dollar Real Estate Agent, you know, there's models in there that are great to follow. And I think that it is just, it happens to you automatically. If you want to build the business and become the CEO of the business, you have to hire good people, and you have to have the systems in place to support those people and be able to operate it profitably. So that's our next challenge, Brad, is the consolidated CRM.
So this book, The Million Dollar Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller, I'm pulling that up on the screen for those people who would like to read that. You can buy the used for as low as $4.91 at Amazon.com right now.
And, you know, it's not like it's written. Gary Keller wrote the book, but he went around and interviewed all the top agents from all brokerages across the country and built models to put in place. And I think that, you know, if you resist reading it, it's fine. And I did in the beginning too. And I just, you know, it helps me grow my business, because it sort of talks about the phases of starting as a salesperson. Okay, now I need a team, and talks about budgets and return on investments that you have to make, and red light, green light on your investments, which is really good if you're not, you know. So it does talk about all those things. It gives you some good structure if you're trying to be successful in real estate.
You know, and there's a write on Amazon that says the millionaire real estate agent, and then there's a quote, and I heard you say this in our last panel, that you said, you know, it's really not about the money. And so obviously this book had an impact, and obviously the theory behind the book and how it works and whatever you obtained out of it worked for you, because it's about being the best you can be. And I remember listening to the audio podcast that's right here on Zillow Academy. It's right over here on the right-hand side column. I've got your tips from top Keller Williams agent. And I remember that's the first thing you said on that interview was, you know, it's not about the money. It's about being the best you can be. And I think a lot of people just, you know, I guess the rule of thumb is that 10% of the agents in the country do 90% of the business. And, you know, I'm sure that number is changing. Always changing, but I'm not sure what the motivation for a lot of people in the business is. Is it for income? Is it for making a livelihood? You know, maybe some of the lead generation and lead management that, you know, we're trying to teach and that you've shared so selflessly today is maybe what people have to kind of soul search and ask themselves, you know, maybe I really don't want more business, and maybe I don't, you know.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times people can find a lot of excuses as to why they don't do things, or why they can't get to that level, or why they can't sacrifice, compromise, risk, reward.
Right. And I see it every day, Brad, and I've had people come and work with me, and I'll tell you a couple of key points for me. There is no free money in the world, so if people get into real estate to think it's easy money, they're completely wrong. So the second thing is that this business is about helping people.
Totally. I couldn't agree with you more completely. In fact, I think building the relationship is just the first step, because once you get that online contact, before you can convert them, like you said earlier, you have to build a relationship and have a call to action. And I think you have to do it sometimes in baby steps. But I think a really good takeaway from today's podcast is that or webinar that we're going to make this available, folks. It'll be recorded and available over here at Zillow Academy. Is that you have to be able to create a process in which you can actually convert, you know, gather, manage these contacts. You have to have a process in place that allows you to build that relationship. You have to have a follow-up plan.
Hey, Brad, I'm back.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I was kind of summarizing our whole thing today. You have to have a plan to manage the client, you know, categorize them, past client, current client, future prospect. And you have to juggle a lot of different things, but I think as you do this, you start to refine what works. And obviously what you've shared today works for Julia, and the reason I'm saying this is I think this can work for anybody. Some of the things that you're saying aren't just because Julia has this special gift and talent. She's the Barbara Streisand of real estate. That's not really the case. Everything that you've shared is humanly possible by anybody that wants to be successful. They just have to have, you know, some steps. So that would lead me to, so people are going to take away the advice you've given today. Who did you look to as a mentor? So like right now I'm going to get in real estate. You've motivated me. You've inspired me. Everything you're saying, I know I can do. I can do this. I can do it. I can do it. You would be the person that I would look to as my mentor. Who did you look to get to where you're at? Was there a specific person you looked to, or an agent that was doing really well that you admired? And how did you get to where you are, and who was your mentor or hero?
Right. I would say, Brad, I went through growth spells, right? I started at RE/MAX, and I wanted to build a team, and I really couldn't do it in their business model. And so a friend of mine introduced me to Keller Williams, and I went and met with Craig Owen, who's the broker over our company, and we have several offices here in San Antonio, I think totally 1,000 agents. And when I walked into that Keller Williams office, it felt like home. It felt like it had presence. It had stature. It's like walking into an attorney's office or a title company. And I admired what was going on in there. Now, what I do as an agent is different than what other agents do because I don't follow the traditional model. I came out of IT. I was in real estate 20 years ago, and I got back into real estate. So, you know, I wanted it to be all about the web because I believe that that's where the consumers are, and that's how I want to generate my business. So I you know, the model that I'm following is really about the advice of my Zillow rep, Gus. He's helped tremendously to set me on the right path, and then we took off, and I've built it exponentially. So as far as now, once I've built my business, as far as business models and attitude and building yourself a budget and being a CEO of your own business, that would be Gary Keller and Keller Williams, because for me, their training programs, they have Bold, they have all kinds of training programs there. So the information is there if you reach out and touch it. And I think that that for sure is helping me build my business to the next step. You know, do I want to do, I don't necessarily have a goal of 40 million or 50 million, a team of 10 people. I want for myself a consistent business that I can depend on and trust that's there. And every year, you know, can we do this again next year? Can we, how can we sustain ourselves next year? And in real estate, I got dropped off. I was going to try to make a point. You know, real estate is about helping people. And if you can lose the fear of when your next transaction is going to come and your next paycheck is going to come, and focus on helping people, the rest just happens. And if you focus your time on that, the rest of it, the transactions will happen. So when you let go of that fear, and when I took my money and invested it into these programs, you know, I had to let go of that fear of not being able to make it every month, and how am I going to afford things, and, you know, just focus on people and helping people, and the rest happens. And get yourself
exactly
the right
what
skills.
You've done today.
Okay.
Thank you for reaching out and for helping other people. I my alert just popped up and said your webinar is about to expire. I want to wrap up by saying it sounds like, you know, you found a home in Keller Williams. It sounds like you have to be in an environment and a supportive place to be able to get to where you want to go, and to have that freedom to grow and to see your potential. And so I tell everybody who's listening to this, you should find that environment. You should find that company, that individual, that person that can help keep you accountable, that can motivate you, yet let you make mistakes and let you fail, because it takes failure to succeed. You have to fall down before you can walk. And so and I know a lot more about your story, Julia, and your history and where you come from and where you're at now. And so thank you so much for sharing that information with us today. I want to extend an additional thanks to the other panelists, one who made it but was having some technical challenges and couldn't get connected online today, so I apologize to him, and a third person who just emailed me and said they couldn't make it today. They had an emergency doctor's appointment that came up. So, Julia, thank you so much for your time today, for your knowledge, for your sharing.
You're welcome.
I'm really excited. I'm going to make this available at the Zillow Academy recorded webinars. I'll also make it a podcast if folks want to download it. I'm going to go ahead and stop that recording now.